Michael Wade and his friends this Saturday afternoon, the 27th of May, 72. Got one right. And I'm singing up for Wade and his friends this Saturday afternoon, the 27th of May, 72. Channel 1 right, and I'm setting it up for Wade and his friends this Saturday afternoon, 27th of May, 72. Channel 1 right, and I'm setting it up for Wade and his friends this 27th of May.
I'm interested in how this little village would think of that, you know. What kind of, are they ready for, do they want it? And do they have a say-so, and should they have a say-so? So he took this as his thesis and went out and what he found, that he really had a great feeling for the citizens of the little town and their feelings. And he was real interested in the editorials that the newspaper would be writing, you know, and every now and then he would write an editorial about, because there is a new town going to be developed right out side of Conroe. And is it going to be a resort-like town, you know, or is it going to be and bring in a lot of this, or is it going to be condominiums and bring in retired people, or is it going to be, you know, just what kind of a thing are we going to be faced with here? And so he talked to the merchants and the bankers and the newspaper man and everybody, and he would he worked with them for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Montgomery County, which is in Conroe, is coming up for a study, a planning design study, and he'd be the perfect one to do it, because he you know, feels that he knows the people and the people will talk to him.
Did he give any report on how they felt? People?
I guess it's in his thesis, and I haven't read the thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I really haven't. I think they're resigned to the fact that they are going to be gobbled up, but that they would like to retain some of the characteristics of the small town feeling, and not be just exactly a suburb,
mm-hmm.
but have individual and characteristics. And how can, with traffic flows and major highways going and complexes and shuttles and what, helicopter pads and all these kind of things, you know, really.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. And will big industry come in demand? They found some of the developers are not interested in housing. And housing is real odd, because housing supports, you know, everything else.
The developers aren't interested in housing?
There's one developer that is not interested in housing. He's interested in services and recreation and all that sort of thing, but he's really not interested in housing yet.
That's strange.
So this is what his new firm, or the firm that he's gone with, feels that they might do in not just metropolitan planning, but design, which is different. But design is philosophically, you know, and helping the developer with his reasoning on why don't you want housing, you know, and all right, maybe why, what kind of housing, you might have a point there. But right now he's just against housing in a certain development that he's interested in. In Dallas. So they've got to figure out how to please the developer who came to them in the first place and say, what am I going to do with this acreage that I've got in almost downtown Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want housing in it. So you see, they've got to design and get the whole ideas of what the developer thinks he wants. But they've also got to see, maybe they may change some of his ideas. They may, you know, expand them, develop them, help him develop to where he can say, okay, you all go on with it. And what we've been interested in was that Ron came out of his 2 years' work in his thesis with a big feeling for the little person, the little people, you know, so-called, that they have a right to live too, and the big developer bulldozer just doesn't have it all.
But he hadn't gotten a chance to talk to you yet about how he's talked to these little people.
No, I really don't have that. I suppose there were three babies in my lap most of the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't really talk to Ronald. But I know that he felt that, and surprisingly, because he's a rather reserved sort of a person and has a very soft cell. He's
mm-hmm.
not a great personality person, you know, he doesn't go in and snow anybody. And that we've been so pleased that he could knock on a door of a bank or a merchant or something and sit down on a meet of the, you know, and get anything. But apparently he has, because he's got so much, he didn't know which way his thesis ought to go. He had so many, what do you call them? Not prongs, but what do y'all call them? Anyway, spin-offs from ideas and things. But
this little town does have bankers and merchants.
And doctors.
Has newspapers.
And a newspaper, weekly.
I see. I wouldn't call that a little town.
No, well, it's not a Micanopy. It's it's a between a Micanopy and Ocala, I guess. It's the kind of seed. So it's got lawyers and all sorts of things. But he's been real fascinated. He thinks he owns the town now.
Is that right? He still lives close to that town.
He lives in Houston, which is about 30 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
They themselves, the whole county, want this study made of their county so that they can be proud of their county.
Mm-hmm.
And they want a study about made because Houston is growing and they don't want just to be a sprawl.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know a new town out of going out past the airport up to the new lake up there, Livingston Lake, that has Italian porticos and columns and all thing out? A completely new town that was built, I guess it's about 20 miles up from Houston off of the highway there.
I don't know if that's there when I went past there or not. It's hard for me to distinguish between those, you know, the columns for suburban development.
Yeah, well, this is probably what it looks like, but it was actually a new town.
Mm-hmm.
And they took an Italian theme and went in there in Texas and put up all these Grecian columns and all this. The most out of the whatchamacallit thing, you know. It's just plumb tacky. And you go through these arches and fountains and statuary up there in the sagebrush country, you know, into a new little town with the cleaner and the baker and the, you know, they did it all. But it's just almost a planned sprawl,
mm-hmm.
which Montgomery County does not want to happen to them. They know that they're going to get all the splurge that the Houston and all of this is coming. But they want it to be designed.
They don't want pyramids stuck out.
No, they really want it. And so they kind of thank goodness that the services are available, that somebody can come in and they can. But it takes a little money to make a plan of it. And they really want the man that's going to do it to live with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of a problem because Ronald would like to be the one who would make the plan, but he don't want to live in Colorado because he's got a business in Houston. But they would like the man who's going to make the study to live up there.
Well, that'd be a full-time job, wouldn't it?
Well,
do something like that.
Well, yeah, it would kind of be.
Mm.
If he could go maybe three times a week, maybe that might help. I don't know. But I think they kind of had an idea that when any of them had a council meeting, that he ought to be there. And anybody had a problem, you know, just in ordinary business right now,
mm-hmm.
that the studier ought to be available for jam sessions and coffee
mm-hmm.
breaks and this sort of thing, or let's go over and talk it over so-and-so. That they feel like he ought to be available, and I kind of think they might have
Yeah, downtown Gainesville's just allocated $72,000 for a sociological study of just the center part of town.
This is being done all over the country.
A little bit of part of it.
And the thing about it is that unless you, you think, well, maybe this is money just being spent, you know, why don't you just tear down that old slum there and this old building here, you know, and just build a new office building. But they have found that an awful lot of money has been wasted by building an old office building or a housing project here. That in, where was it the other day that I saw a housing project where it was the pride of everything and the bulldozer went in there?
They blew it apart.
That's right. They blew it apart. It was simply just didn't work in that particular place. It was not supposed to have ever. So I think we've been, what this has been going on, what, 10 years? Leveling off parts of a city, slum clearance, urban renewal, and this kind of thing. Suddenly you just decide, let's urban renewal, and you get enough money, and you buy it up, and you bulldoze it off, and build something else. And it didn't work either.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the philosophy back of Ronald's business. Let's take a little design in here and see which way you want to go and stabilize it so that you don't waste either your land, your money, or your efforts inside. But his technique, you see, nobody went behind him and listened to him as he talked to these guys. And so I really don't have much to report on, you know, the actual business of it.
That would be interesting to hear how he talks to them and then what kind of response you get out of them.
He's a sort of direct kind of guy. And I know on the editorials, he wrote up as he would interview all of them. He'd go back and get it down on the typewriter. He'd take it to the, he'd get it written down. And then he'd show it to all of them that he had talked to. This is what I think you said about your town or what the editorial of last week's newspaper said and this sort of thing. And when it would get to the newspaper, he'd say, well, I didn't say that. Ronald would say, well, I didn't say you said it. This is what the merchant said you said. And this is the way they read your editorial, that you were for or against or something like this, whether you thought that's what you were saying or not. And so he was able to show this editor how his paper was being read in his little town.
How'd the editor take that?
Well, he was real upset with Ron at first. And but now he's one of his best friends. And anything that Ron would show up that maybe the people ought to think about, he'll write an editorial on it. You know, that kind of thing. But he really enjoyed it, and he enjoyed the people. And he loves the area. That's
He's taking
exciting, really exciting.
I thought he'd be back in this part of the country.
I don't know whether he's taken to it because of the part of the country or because the kind of thinking that his desired, you know, saying the money is there to back it up, and it takes it would take money to pay for a design.
And they don't pinch pennies.
No, but the firm, still hasn't settled on any kind of way of how do you set a price on my services to you, the developer, who owns the land and doesn't know what to do with it. You've come to us. So then what is our fair share of the brains that we're going to tell you what to do with the development, which in turn may make you millions of dollars. But But where do you know any of these things, you see, yet? So how do you set your fee? And there's no, this is new, and there's no book written on it, and there's no scale to go by. You don't know what the finished product's going to cost, so you can't say, like an architect can say, this is a $100,000 house. My fee is a percentage, a flat percentage of the total cost. Now, the designer would not tell you exactly what your walls were going to look like. They might give you some idea, but the designer would say, you would pay the designer where you're going to put your house, more than what your house was going to look like, which might not seem like it ought to cost very much. I'll go out and put my house where I please. All right? Then you might be putting it right at the wrong angle. The wind won't hit you or something like that. But that wouldn't matter on a single house. But if you were doing, say, an 8-block square in the middle of downtown, then traffic flow and exposure and what's around you would have something to do with where you put various things and where you put your green grass or you leave your tree. And where do you say your tree?
But they can't figure out how to get it paid.
So they haven't decided how much they ought to charge for every one of their design things.
Well, all the guys tell me is the best way to do that, you calculate it out in your head about how much you think you're going time you're going to spend and how much you're worth. You add it all up. Then you add in all the expenses you think you might have.
Just keep adding on.
And then you double it. And then you add 25%.
And then I can add that up. The developers sometimes are such big shots, they forget they hadn't paid you, you know, that kind of thing. So you have to be a good collector. And this man that he's working for is the developer of the Hallelujah New Town right out of Washington.
Hallelujah.
It has, you know, the Hallelujah hippies that went up, not when was it, right? Martin Luther King? During that time, I guess, was they camped out up there, the Hallelujah Camp. And this was a batch of gravel pits. That was abandoned gravel pits right outside of Washington, and it was within mileage of Washington, which would be very valuable property, except it was just unusable looking. And nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted to touch it. Nobody wanted to do anything, but this guy kind of saw some possibilities because of the availability to Washington and premium land. So he got the design team. And they went out and took a look at it, and they thought, well, this does have a possibility. You already got a lake dug, you know, and these gravel pits, just join a few of them together, mm-hmm. and you've got an artificial lake. And so this is, they got a $55 million loan from HUD, and they sold HUD on the idea, and they liked it. So they got the loan, and so they're building a new town right out there in the gravel pit.
Is this what kind of town would it be?
It's one of the feeder towns right out of Washington, which will be a self-sustaining town, but it will also supply housing for commuters. And the new transit, I think we're all going to be transit shuttled around the megalopolis. And between airport shuttles, helicopter pads, and you just add those in, even to shopping areas. In fact, in Houston, there at the Galleria, his office is one of the buildings that's owned by the Galleria developer. Did you know Tiffany's has a new shop in the Galleria now? And his office is the office building, I think, controlled data. Well, they're on the 19th floor, and they look over to a helicopter pad over there, which is a shuttle from big businessmen coming in from the airport. They've got to get in town in a hurry, so they just take their shuttle. And close to the medical centers, there in Houston where there's so much traffic. There's an area which very well can be a shuttle stop for people who need housing to stay while they're having medical problems and having medical services and this sort of thing, which also needs a bank and other services there and parking, but have also shuttles to get over to the various medical centers. If you're going to have heart surgery, you know, and that sort of thing, you commute to your... But all it's just big town. And what's the terrible thing is the projection of how the... See, I'm a Planned Parenthood myself, and I think we ought to really start there. But since we haven't started there, people are people, and they are here. Mm-hmm. And the black areas of where the concentration of people are, it's just frightening as to how solid, you know, they it's going to be. And they got to be taken care of. And sewage-wise and disposable-wise and all this pollution-wise, it all has to be designed.
So that's what Ron's into primarily, is this, they're sort of out of the individual or specific building.
That's right. Their whole office doesn't have a drawing board in it. Their ideas are all on the walls. You'd love it. On the walls. In color. They'll sketch. And they'll dot in color. But their desk is just like this. No drawers on the side, no filing cabinets. They're brain.
Mm-hmm.
Jam sessions only. Ideas. And he's so excited he's out of his mind. Because they may be out of his mind, you know. He may after all. Hello.
Yeah, that's really probably one of the fastest growing fields. Planning. Yeah, one of my old favorite firms in Tampa just hired two new planners.
They don't want to be planners, they want to be designers.
Well, they're designers.
They think there's a difference. It may be the drawing board difference. I don't exactly know.
What does Ron say the difference is?
Well, don't ask me. They don't want to be planners. They don't want to be metropolitan planners. They're urban designers.
Urban designers.
It's the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
The word design seems to have a trick to it.
Mm-hmm.
They think so.
Yeah. You know, back when Ron was in Knoxville kind of hiring out there, they use that term. I heard you all using the term design. I thought to myself, well, Lord help us, if he's a draftsman and a good draftsman, what does he want to argue about? He can make a living, you know, a good living as a draftsman, and then do anything else he wants to. But they don't figure it that way, I guess.
I was trying to think what this guy Doc Fiatis calls himself. I think he still says planner.
Oh, there are a lot, and every city has one.
This is a Greek man. He was planner for Miami till they fired him.
Yeah.
He's the one that talks about downtown Miami?
Yeah.
He wanted to enclose the whole city. He wanted to make a big bubble.
Yeah. Well, wait, what is the prospects now of a little city planning for Micanopy?
Those prospects are in abeyance until we get our basic council in order.
Yeah.
We won't, all next week will be spent on that. We won't know what's happening until June the 5th.
You can't go ahead and...
I stirred up the fire too soon. I got it going, and I spent all day yesterday on the telephone with people from Jacksonville, Tampa, and Orlando, and everywhere. They were all calling in. They're ready. They're going to jump right in, you know. A lot of them are friends, but a lot of them also smelling money big.
Yeah.
And so they're very anxious, and I keep telling them, well, okay, we'll get in contact with you, but we don't even have a city government now.
I don't get to have one of those town meetings every time.
Oh, good gracious. And what I've been doing, other than planning things, going from here to there with between Joe Thomas, the mayor, and Troy Blakely, and Walt Evelyn, and trying to convince these gentlemen that I don't think blood's necessary.
Yeah.
I think we can get it all done without blood. And you hear them growl. Say, well, the man's a thief, you ought to be prosecuted. Well, let's just call him a thief and let him go home. Oh, he's got to be prosecuted. And I say, well, where are you going to stop when you start this? Think about my own eye, too. And they don't really care. They want to start one place and keep going. And I see, one thing is, I don't know how long that'll last. It could take an eternity. And the city might be dead before they get the government straightened out. It could be consumed with Botchwa County.
Yeah. Could have that 7-Eleven with a hundred.
Yeah, yeah. And all that could happen in the interim.
Yeah.
If we keep ourselves going, it won't happen. But there's a possibility of that. But we've already put off the planning statement June 5th till the next meeting. And like I told them, May the 1st. We'd better make a decision then, because June 5th, we'd be 30 days closer to death and hadn't done a damn thing. And sure enough, that's what's happened.
And you can't just go ahead and do it on your own, because it won't get you anywhere.
No. You heard me try to squeak out an authority, but that authority is so weak right now. All I wanted to say is, okay, all right, we're willing to do it if we can afford it.
Yeah.
That's all. And they said it, but they said it awful low.
Awful low.
Yeah, they just very lowly mumble that.
Yeah.
Which means that they're going to shut the door quick as they can.
Because
they're all skeptical. They know they need it, but they don't want it. And I don't know how to change that attitude directly. Now, the young people, a lot of them want it. But they don't have the power yet. The older people don't want it at all, because as far as they're concerned, they'll be dead by the time this thing gets exploded, and they just want to hold on where they are now. That change thing, they want it. And they can't see what I've seen and know what change really is. Hell, if they could just look at that one place down in Orlando, at Altamont Springs thing that I did. And it was 1 year I was out there, and this is where Robert E. Lee came, and all these Confederate generals, all the buildings they stayed in were still there. This old man was down there that owned it, and he was a beauty. He probably sold the property, half of it, about $1 million better. And I assume a good portion of that was cash. He had a limp, and he had an old concrete block house that was on part of that property. Well, he spent a great deal of his time trying to get the bathtub out of that house, the sink, the flagstones out of the yard, and drag them by tractor all around that lake back over these old houses they lived in. It was his property. He at least had $200,000 or $300,000 cash out of selling it, see? At least that much money. And he was working as hard as he could to beating a hole in the wall, concrete block wall, and pulling this old bathtub out of there, because he figured at least the bathtub would be worth some money. They're going to bulldoze the house down, but he's getting everything he could out of it first. And the property just rolling and beautiful, you know, and all wide open. And you see this really nice lake, and these old houses here, and there's a main street going down, but there wasn't any development around there. And I drove by there a year later, and there wasn't a damn thing but concrete and buildings. That was it. And I'd say I knew the developer and the architect. And I said, please God, take care of that land. I said, do something decent on it. Oh yeah, we will. And they did all right. And they covered it all up, every bit of it. So you didn't have to do that. It wasn't necessary.
That's the trouble with so many of the developers who own the land. Then the first thing you know, they've got matched box houses on,
mm-hmm.
just one right after the other, and
well, this was,
and no plan very much. And,
well, this was all apartment buildings.
Or high rises.
Well, they would have been so much better off with two high-rise buildings rather than the low-rise that they did,
yeah.
which is two to three floors,
yeah.
Which just sprawled out over the land. If it had been better to have columns and have something left of nature,
yeah. Yeah.
Stick the man up in the air up there and let him go up, work up and down the stairs,
yeah.
but they would have had some of that nature left
yeah.
if they'd done that.
Well, sometimes they leave trees here and there.
Yeah. Tree grows in Brooklyn. But Micanopy doesn't know it, but that is a strong potential. It won't be that drastic in 5 years, but it'll be so drastic that they won't even know.
Yeah.
It won't be Micanopy.
That's right. They were spared that outlet from I-75 somehow. That hasn't affected them much.
I was going to ask you, how much does that affect you? I noticed the new motel. I hadn't noticed.
Well, you see the way development goes, they've been busying around other areas and building up. They've got one motel there, which they didn't have before, and I suspect like Disneyland's going to affect that tremendously. So there you have Disneyland affecting the I-75 area. And then there are two four-lane highways that go right straight into Gainesville. And you pass right across the beautiful prairie, and you're into Micanopy area. And these guys are buying land hand and fist. 3,000 acres the other day they bought from this old man, 90-something years old, and been bedridden for 2 years. And he wanted cash for it. I really like that.
Don't blame him.
He had three nurses taking care of him, and he wants cash for that land. I don't know exactly how he's going to operate with all that cash, but he didn't have to sleep on it. But this land's 15 miles northwest of Gainesville, see, or about 11 at least as far as Micanopy, or thereabouts. And these guys are smelling hard, you know. They want every piece of land they can find to do this with, and they're not buying it to keep those cows on it. There's nothing but cows on that, mostly scrub. He's got a beautiful herd of Charolais. Like a pride herd on one side, on the other, probably a couple of 100 acres. All nice fences and green grass. Rest of it's all that Florida scrub. And Micanopy is going to head in that direction pretty quick. It's just natural.
It just hadn't come that direction yet.
No. It's been sleeping along. Well, the property, when I first got there, they were talking about some acreage within the city limits at about $200 or $300 an acre, and a month later it was $400 or $500, and now even the most ignorant person is selling his property at $2,000 an acre if it's not closer to the middle part of town. And I think unless George is lying like he always does, he paid $6,000 for half an acre. Right back of my building.
That much?
Yeah.
You mean that fast?
That's right. And he could have, when he first moved on to it, it was a whole acre. He only bought half of it. And Jimmy wanted $2,000 for the whole acre, or three. And so he moved down there about a year before I bought that building. But see, this is all happening without, there hasn't been a house built in Micanopy anywhere.
Yes.
It's just sort of going up. You just wait till some guy comes trucking in there and buys up 5 or 6 acres and plops down an apartment building, and then all hell's going to break loose. Only 700 people there.
This is the same story.
Yeah.
And I think enough people are willing to drive that 15 miles to live out in the country. You know, even if it's in an apartment building close to the country.
Well, that was right. I think I wrote it down in that first talk. It's right interesting thing. Sin City area.
Yeah.
there was a friend of mine that in 62 said, Sin City, you know where that is?
Mm.
I don't know how familiar you are with Gainesville. And when you drive into Gainesville, it's the first big intersection you get to with the Steak and Shake, you know, going towards the university and the drugstore. Well, that's 16th Avenue. Well, in 62, this friend of mine wanted to put an apartment complex on 16th Avenue, and the bankers just told him he's crazy as hell. Nobody's going to live in a cow pasture. And it was less than 5 years' time. It's 3,000 people on there, and it's about 5,000 people living there right now.
Yeah.
On that one street. About four blocks long. 5,000 people.
Well, right now, they're moving out the Archer Road area. Mm-hmm.
They're inching out toward the prairie, too.
Yeah.
So what is your proposal? To save making those in America?
Hopefully, if we can get... we've got some power going, but not enough yet. And
you want to keep it sort of an artist colony, or just like it is?
Well, it's not an artist colony at all.
You got a museum. You got a potter up there.
Well, he's
maker.
Gone to Archer himself.
Oh, really? We don't have a weed maker anymore.
No, it's I would just like to see the atmosphere preserved. And the only way you're going to really do it is to start talking about it as a historical place,
mm-hmm.
or give it some impetus, to some guideline to go along. Because if you just say we want to keep what's there, no one really knows what's there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any idea, and
mm-hmm.
it'll be hard to do. At best, it's going to change. No two ways about it. As soon as they get planning in, they won't have the local people won't have any more control of it.
No, no.
This is the whole thesis of how much right you have, you know, when a planner comes
through. Well, which way you turn there? I mean, if they don't get planning in, they're going to lose it entirely.
Yeah.
And if they do get planning in, they don't have any more control over it. And they can maybe hope for a little bit of peace, you know, like Buster maybe can still work on the street.
Well, that's what made me so mad about Don Chimwell at the meeting.
Oh.
Because he stands up and he's saying, don't take an attack. Don't let anybody tell you what to do with your land. In 5 years, he's the one that's going to be telling them.
Yeah, he buys. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't let the government let me. Yeah, they're pouring an immense amount of energy in Micanopy into removing cars. All disturbed about junk cars.
Yes. Yeah.
And
is that part of the Garden Clubs of America's?
As it turned out, it's part of people just getting mad at each other. And so this is the way the government works. They don't do a thing until somebody on the council gets mad at somebody else, and they pass an ordinance or enforce one that's available. Oh, good Lord, that's been going on so much lately, with dogs, horses, buildings, cars, you know, they just
wait till they're riding on the shoe pinching.
Yeah, but now look, Wayne, you see, the idea that you're discussing is very simple, and it ought to abandon the idea and just lead into the people you're dealing with, this sort of experiences. Like Mr. Eastman does. And then you can see what goes on. It is the abstractions that tire your mind. People like this, and they can handle that. They can look at the people through your eyes, and they can take out some of the heat. Now you see what I mean by starting out like Allen did. See, not heated up as anything. And you look at it. Now, you've got to have the same method if you're going to see this. So as you see, all the ideas they've been talking about are extremely simple. They just pound them.
I was trying to, I said about yesterday, trying to talk about these council members and people I'm dealing with,
mm-hmm.
to put them out there so that then I could deal with them better.
Yeah, I don't think you ought to have to do it all yourself. You've been in it so much, you see. You ought to be able to report a little bit and then have a little help on that.
Well, I never got to it. I forgotten who I got hung up on, but I spent 2 hours on something else.
Well, you see, you got some help right here.
Yeah,
it was something.
You see, I can listen to you, and it'd be almost easier than going to the town meeting
mm-hmm.
myself and trying to bring that home, you know, in my mind. It's
mm-hmm.
much easier to hear you and see what you see in it
mm-hmm.
and see them too.
Yeah. And then you can go to the town meeting too. Then you can talk to the people.
Yeah.
But it's actually, in ways, he's holding it out.
Well, the thing I was working with has gotten me more concerned then. I mean, I'm still thinking about that planning nonsense, but it's just bloodletting and trying to avoid bloodletting, and this has to do with
Blakely. You see the idea of bloodletting. It's simple. And if you can just get the pressure off and just watch the blood being let.
Good job.
And I think you can get some help here. Well, you don't have to do it all yourself. And you've seen so much, you know, and I think it's really shameful not to look at it.
Well, that's the situation of trying to deal with Walt Eblin and Bill Proctor and Troy Blakely. And Joe Thomas. Now, these people are, oh Lord, that's a spectrum of people putting together. And the characters behind the characteristics of these people are right, divergent.
Yeah, but you have the cohort, you see, and you can kind of start it off, and then they can pick it up. Listen to the talk and get her down. His paper. That's not as good as. Well, now the tape is different. The sort of talk over there wouldn't be any good on tape. You see, Mr. Eastman's here.
Hmm.
But it has to have some control before it's before the tape do any good.
The only talk that I heard that I'd like to really hold on tape is Willie Wade's talk.
Well, for somebody like that, Steve, we could rig it up so you could do a little bit, but I don't believe you need to.
I'm not interested in that too much.
I don't believe you. See, taping is, it's not simple. No, it's almost out of question. I used to think I could pass it on to somebody, you see,
mm-hmm.
do a little bit from what I've learned. I've not found anybody who can even get started in it. You've got to have all sorts of compulsions and drives in order to get that going.
I know I don't have
them. Well, you don't need them.
No.
But... You see, just the tape, you see, you don't have anything. There's nothing there. You gotta sort of live it for a while until you have something. Well, I don't know, you know, I can't say. Now, I've I've made a few beautiful tapes, not too many. And it's just so beautiful that you just can't understand it. But I don't know anyone else who can do it. And I never think I can do it again. You know, I always think it's the last couple of ones.
What Emerson said in circles. Really fine statement.
But you see, this is a remarkable audience here. You see, they listen to Mr. Eastman, and it just brought them to life, and that's what the reporting does. You see, you project, you live it. You see it. The reporting, you see it. You see. And that's what a folk lived in. If you could just now, you see, they've got time to live and project. And you don't. You see, what I would say is, it's so wasteful just to. Trot around the countryside when you can. You have to stay where you are.
Oh, it's difficult for me to leave Micanopy.
Now you see, Alton says, Guy, why don't you and Faye just take this? He says, if you investigated this MLA tour to Europe. He said they've got it down now to where you couldn't can't afford to stay at home. You can go round trip for $195. Go over there and check in on Burns' first place and Dove Cottage and just say you've been there. And I said to him, I don't talk much to Alton. I said, Alton, you couldn't hire me to go there. I've got more satisfaction right here in the southeast corner of Alachua County. You couldn't hire me to leave there. If I went to these other places, I'd be the mercy of taxi driver.
Her mother makes her living travel agency on travel agency.
Yeah.
That's something else.
Yeah. Really great man.
Good Lord. You ought to hear some of her stories.
Yes, I would.
Wow. Especially the preachers. Yeah. They're the finest.
But now, okay, you haven't heard. Wade got into that. You heard a little of it. You were here. You listened to it. That's all the tape I have of Wade. I just did a little bit. That's the tail end of the one that I had on. But he has some very nice portraits, you see, of Proctor. Finally, we let him get going on Proctor, and a number of the others, very fine portraits. And then we got off on some of these people not involved in the city government, you see, Buster and old Jack Herrin and people like that. And you don't have time. He can set down some of them. That's nice what you set down, I thought. And but they can beat you. They can beat me. I don't have pros like she has. I don't know what Mimi has. From the little notes she wrote, she had the language. But that's the thing. You can do a little of it, but you can call. They can do a lot more.
Yeah, it'd take me several years to catch up.
Oh yes. Yes, and you're not catching up. It's just getting ahead
of
it.
No, that's what I did. I was telling you, I was trying to sit down yesterday and talk about this one problem of these four different guys I'm dealing with. And then I said the first sentence and never got back to it.
I talked to Ms. Van Arnhem. I talked to Florence. I talked to her. I wrote a little note and just told her that she was wasteful. That she had all that. She can talk to people, and she can get things almost like Mr. Morganson, except she can't talk as well, but she does well, and she does it constantly, And somehow or other, she's unhurried. Well, she gets in a fidget more than Mr. Eastman does, but she does well. And I twitted her, you see. I said, now all these learned people, they don't have the experience. They've got the learning, but they've got no content. They got nothing to say. And you've got all the experience.
I won't say.
Yes. That's it, you see. Well, she can talk. She can report. And if, you see, if you could get together, see, she knows more than you know for a long time, even if you try. And then you've got no content anyhow, you see. You just lived in artificial worlds. The theater, she learned a lot, you see, but nothing worth saying. I just run it out. Compared to her, you got to get off campus. I think you have to get off the campus, huh?
It's a different world, no doubt about that.
Well, I don't think it's a world up there. Of what it is.
It's a environment. It's what it is.
Why?
It's got that bubble over it they're trying to put over Miami. It's already exists.
I don't know what it is. I got to go over it.
Yeah.
Well, this is nice. I enjoyed the visit.
Can't you see the campus though? Can't you see the people? Can't you see the people that you work with? They're not anything either. Is that it?
They're dull.
They're just plumb dull.
Mostly.
They are.
They don't
static
talk.
And they just
don't talk.
Say
they
what.
Talk. They're dull. I mean, even the ones talk.
And it's
so when they're interesting is when they've got absolutely nothing to do with the campus.
Yeah, they don't get off campus there. Well, you see, they reduce Emerson to symbols. Now, what in the hell are we interested in? Symbol. You look at it. Look at
and they're no fun to look at.
No.
Guy, I better pick up a couple of those pieces. Quit using carvers. I don't know why.
Well, let me look at them, and
okay.
I'll bring them by there.
Yeah, I'm sucked in.
You need them?
No, not right now, but I just didn't want to lose.
Oh, good to talk to y'all, man.
Yeah.
See, it's all scattered, and
yeah.
I hope maybe it will fit together one
now,
day.
Now, if you have to have them, you take them. But,
no, I don't need them right now at all.
I have them. I just kind of looked at them.
It's just awful, isn't it?
Well, we'll get ours soon enough.
Well, I know it in August. I wish you had me something.
Yeah.
Soon enough. You going over to the barbecue?
Yes, I go. And I got to hear that singing. You see.
Have you seen Cookie? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. We were going over the
tree. Why he's so fat and healthy.
Well, now does that bring some of it out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what I've been struggling?
Mm-hmm.
You see, just to put it away, you can't
hurt me out here earlier.
Well, it's out of the kitchen, you see. And I've got a little bit more caution about carting. I don't, unless I'm pretty sure they're interested, I don't cart.
I don't know, Jane, had been in, read any of the stuff.
No, she hadn't got a thing.
My Lord. Coming to you, Cole.
She won't get much, she tell you.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
I don't know what she wants to talk about.
Get guy to give you that Xerox copy. I've got several of them. And send it down to Ron.
Oh, okay.
He's interested.
I'm telling you, that piece in the sun is a whopper. God Almighty.
I had to break necks to get that crazy man down there.
Yeah.
Finally, he came at the last minute, and he thought he was going to leave in 45 minutes an hour.
Yeah.
He was there till 12 o'clock drinking beer at the bar with us. He said, I thought I was going to be here and be gone, but he was just talking up a storm. He couldn't.
Yeah.
Of course, that didn't have anything. See, that didn't have a thing to the plan.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's what
yeah.
it means. See,
but now you would you say that all their statements are very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just get lighten up on those statements and just let the people
see. That's what I get home out of 10 for, and I'm not stressing at all.
Suzanne?
Yep.
Let me tell you what I do.
I
when my old battery does like that, I just park it where I can get next to the electric current and keep a charger there handy.
Well, we probably will, but I mean, if the battery says it won't hold charge.
Well, it'll start you.
Yeah.
That's a little cry.
Oh, I see.
Get one from the gas well if they came over and helped you. Looks lights on. Is that it?
Maybe.
Lights on?
No, I think I turned them. I wish you